I think we're all set to start. And hello, this is Espresso from the Angel Swing Account, saying hi to speakers.
Good morning.
Hi, Matt.
Hi, Jen. Hi, everyone.
How are you guys?
Good. Thanks. And you?
I'm doing great. Anna should be joining us momentarily. She drove down the mountain to sit on the hill again. So I'm here in the house, hoping that I don't get rugged too bad here on the Starlink.
Fingers crossed. Very excited to have you back. Before we get into the Scams project, let's do the Angel Swing intro by Casper, so people know who we are, what we are about.
Yeah, thanks, Espresso. And of course, a warm welcome back to Anna and Matt, who's back on our show once again. We are the Angel Swing, an international NFT art gallery and podcast show founded by international friends who came together through our love for art and NFTs. Espresso and Johannes are from Europe. Yoon's from the US, Rebel and myself are from Asia. Our mission is to feature talented independent artists who have inspiring stories to share, and we believe that art has the power to inspire and connect people through shared experiences. We showcase the art in an on-cyber virtual gallery. As we all know, a larger collection of art brings a cross-pollination of viewership that has helped quite a few of our artists through sales. And glad to say we've organically grown since into a community of artists and collectors, but most importantly, friends. With regular Twitter spaces like these, which are then recorded into podcast formats in Spotify and YouTube. The easiest way to get in touch with us would be to join a cozy Discord. Everything's on our link in our bio, so hit us up if you're an indie artist who needs help featuring your art, or if you just want to join a friendly art NFT community. We'd like to mention that nothing on this show should be construed as investment advice. This podcast is for informational purposes only. And last but not least, if you enjoy our show and want to support us, we welcome donations to our wallet, theangelswing.eth and theangelswing.tez. Whether it's art or ETH, we would really appreciate it. Thanks so much for tuning in. And with that, back to you, Espresso.
Thank you. So yeah, we are very excited to have Matt and Anna back on our show. It's been almost exactly a year, I think, since last time you were on. And again, we're talking about Scales, this fantastic project that you have going. And we wanted to hear how it's been in this last year, how every up and down that you've experienced and what you've learned along the way. Let's just start with, how would you summarize the last year in Scales?
First of all, thanks so much for having us on. It's more than anything, it's just really nice to be here with you guys. You've been with us since the very beginning, like you said, and I always feel like a really warm feeling when I see anybody from the Angels Wing, and just a lot of gratitude going out to you guys and everything that you're doing for artists in the space. I appreciate you.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, and with Scales, we are very impressed by your perseverance and everything you've achieved over this last year. I counted 247 paintings. Is that true?
I think so. I feel like it's been 1,000, but I think that's pretty accurate. And yeah, we actually thought that the project was going to last a year. But as you all know, things always take longer than you think they will. I think those timelines only really work in a vacuum when nothing goes wrong and everything goes as planned. And of course, that's just not the way that life works ever. And we've had to learn how to be super flexible and pivot and duck and improvise as we encounter what sometimes feels like obstacle after obstacle. And that's really, I think that's been the craziest part of the journey and what we didn't really anticipate. But I think it's brought us to a really good place where more so than ever before, we're both really focused on the art and also on the purpose of this project. And at least that's how I feel. Man, I remember, this is so funny. I think it was one of the spaces that we did with you guys, and it was just weeks after our first drop. And everyone was so charged up with this really beautiful energy. And at the time, I remember feeling so ambitious. And also, there was like this sort of like naive invincibility, that energy that you always have when you're starting something new and where you're at the beginning of a journey. And I remember coming on this space, and I think it was someone in the Angels Wing made a comment, like, I want to say it was Shrump, but I think it might have been someone else. Said, okay, so, you know, this project's going to last about a year, maybe like 18 months. And I remember thinking, heck no, it's not going to take us 18 months to finish this project. We're totally going to get it done in a year. And that hasn't been the case. Web3 is such a crazy space. I know that you guys are aware that running a project and facilitating any sort of endeavor in Web3, it has about 1,000 moving parts that never stop moving. They're moving 24 hours a day.
Yeah, absolutely, 100%. And it's also very impressive that you managed to persist through, because there's been like, in the beginning, the first few months, there was like drop after drop and lots of paintings, lots of scales being minted, lots of activities. In that first phase of the project, I don't know, you went like monthly drops until December, I think. In that first phase, what was the biggest surprise or the biggest thing that was different from what you had anticipated?
I think that what we had hoped for was like an upward trajectory of the floor price. And not knowing anything about the Web3 space also, I think the biggest surprise to me was actually how Web3 works with the actual people in Web3. I think there's a lot of polarity. So there were so many people who were vastly supportive and who we both felt like they really understood the project and they seemed to be as excited as we were. And just the amount of support and community was amazing. And that was like one side of the coin. And then the other side was like, I put a lot of work into what I considered building a community and having all these conversations with anybody who would talk to me, really, and putting together the allow list. And I found out really quick that there are a lot of people in Web3 who will just like, who are trading. They see that as like, they're trying to make a profit. I get that. But they would lie to me and they would pretend to be my friend and they would tell me, I'm going to hold on to your art forever. I'm going to print it out and hang it in my kid's room. And then as soon as they would mint the work, you would see them try to sell it for under floor price. And I wasn't expecting that. And that kind of was a blow. I don't know. I probably shouldn't have taken it so hard, but I was like, oh man, I thought these people were my friends. I thought we had a connection. I don't really like to be a gatekeeper, and Matt's a lot better than I am, but he became the bouncer where we had to make all these rules for who was allowed to join the allow list and who wasn't, and how do we identify alt profiles and how do we identify cheaters. And a lot of energy went just into trying to protect the art by giving it to the right people and finding the right people. So that was really unexpected. And we probably could spend like 24, like we could work on that full time, probably. It's a really difficult job. And we did our best, but it was so time consuming. And we weren't anticipating that at all.
Yeah, that's easy to imagine. And there was also during some of the hectic times of Web3, there was a free mint meta where everyone was chasing mint projects. And so I imagine you must have had a lot of people in those DMs. Anything you wish you'd done differently?
Yeah, there's so many things. looking back on it retrospectively, we couldn't have done it any differently, honestly, because we didn't know what we didn't know along the way. Pretty much every failure that we had, we learned from it. And so I can look back and say, oh yeah, we would have done it so differently, but there's really no way that we could have, because while we're in this space and we're doing our best to assimilate and do what's necessary to make the project successful at the same time. Maybe this is a universal thing, but every day it feels like this really foreign and volatile landscape where it's hard to pin down exactly even like what it is or what we're doing here in Web3. I don't know if that makes sense.
It's easy to relate to. It's very much a kind of just jump in and try to figure it out as we go. And the project from the get-go has been very much about radical generosity. I'm curious to hear what you've learned about this concept throughout the year that has passed.
It's hilarious because I think at the beginning of this project, like, this is about radical generosity. Just, it seemed like it should be enough that we would be giving away this art for free. That seemed radical. And that we would just be getting like a sliver of the royalties. And like, that was enough. But then it's funny because I remember one of my friends asking me, she's one of those people who questions everything. And we get into all kinds of art discussions about language. And she's, what exactly makes it radical? And when she asked me that, I was like, I mean, we're giving all this art away for free. And it seemed like as soon as that question was asked, the radical part of it started where the royalties began to decrease and we stopped getting pretty much anything. And then royalties became optional to pay. It got down to the point like where pretty much like the radical generosity part for us at this point is like finding the energy and the strength and the muster to keep going and to continually finding space, even in our own lives, as we're just trying to live as well. How do we continue to give at the same level? How do we continue to give, even though we know that we won't be compensated directly, at least from this project? And there's like, with that radical generosity, it's almost like we're being asked to walk the talk beyond what we originally thought. There's no faking it. We really have to dig deep on it. What that means for us is really having faith and being really purpose-driven is the only way that we get through it, really. And also just at the beginning of this project, Matt and I made a promise to each other that we are going to finish it. Like, we even had the conversation at the beginning before we even did one drop. What if we make nothing from this? And we promised each other we just wouldn't go, that no matter what, we would keep doing it. And I think that feels like the radical part, because as you said before, Ian, I think that people who are involved with this project will see and have seen that there have been many opportunities where I think other people might have pulled the plug. Oh, this doesn't make sense anymore. And now it's just, it's about the art, it's about completion, and it's about having faith that we get to find out what happens when the collection is complete. That might sound a little woo-woo, but that's what's driving us at this point.
I love that. It's very impressive. And you've already managed to cross the halfway mark, right? 5,300 scales by now. And yeah, you mentioned costs briefly, and that's also something we have to dive into for a little bit. When this entire royalty debate raged, scales was the first project that came to mind where it really takes a hit from what the Web3 community is going towards. And by now it seems like royalties are a thing of the past, at least on Ethereum. So how have you been able to persevere through on the cost side?
So basically, as far as the cost goes, like everything It's an expensive project. Just the art supplies alone are probably $1,000 every drop, maybe more. And then our contract isn't optimized because we're basically dinosaurs with the length of this project and the contract that we're using. When we upload addresses to the allow list, like that can be a really heavy cost, especially with gas. Honestly, we just do our best to cover the cost. It's been really helpful to drop the additions and to drop the one of ones. And to get a little funding through that. We're very human. We're always improvising and see if we can make it work. And this is our passion project. So sometimes that means that we have to make money, which takes us away from the project. And then it's always like this balancing act. As an artist, that's not new to me. That's how it was in the beginning of my career. You're waiting tables so you can support your art career. But by the time you're done waiting tables, you're too exhausted to paint. But you have to like just dig deep and find the strength within you and continue to persevere. And so it feels a little familiar to that sometimes. But yeah, we just make it work.
Yeah, and it's also very good to see the drops of the editions and the 101 and see that the community was there and was collecting it and seemed like a big success. So very happy to see that. And of course, the art is beautiful and also leads me to, let's go with the question from Johannes before we go into further topics.
Yes, regarding the gas that you have to spend to upload allow lists, I wonder if you ever discuss to maybe migrate the project to a level 2 or to do any other technical solution to steer this in another direction. For example, level 2 or maybe another level 1. This is very technical, but what were your considerations to stay on this old contract?
I don't know if Matt can participate right now. He's definitely the person that would answer that question.
I could take over that question. Yeah, in terms of migration and things like that, doing the calculations on it, it seems like from the standpoint of getting our developer to migrate this to a different blockchain would be every bit as expensive as it would be for us to just pick low gas windows and upload the addresses to the allow list on a drop by drop basis. Just calculating it out probably would be a wash. Also, as everybody knows, other blockchains are not as popular, not as many users on them. It takes a certain migration of people's mentality to even move to a different blockchain or another layer. It adds complexity. And so everything weighed out just doesn't seem like the juice is worth the squeeze, so to speak. It would be a lot and for very little benefit overall. So we're just going to muscle through. If it costs us more money, which it will, that's just something we're going to have to be prepared to absorb. Keeping our word that we finish all 10,000 pieces, I feel, is the most important part of the project continuing on despite the adversity and really putting our money where our mouth is in terms of fulfilling the ethos of radical generosity. I think that if we talk all about radical generosity and then when it gets difficult, we fail to uphold that, then we've lost our way a little bit. So if it costs us another $10,000-$15,000 to write all these addresses to the allow list, and we receive nothing in return directly in terms of royalties or something else, that will just have to be where it is. As Anna was saying earlier, we really are holding the faith that something will come out of it in the end, that all of the effort invested will be financially returned. But if not, that's all part of the experiment. And we didn't know going in what this would be like, but we were taking a leap of faith and we continue to do that.
You have my greatest respect for this, really.
Thank you. Thank you for that.
Oh, I was just going to say, as far as hoping that something will come out of it in the end, I also think that even that might even be the wrong mentality in general, even though I think that you were echoing something I just said. We're getting so much out of it, even in the journey of doing it. And I don't want to speak for you, but I almost feel like I can, where it's like, we've gotten pretty steely and also like throughout this, really learn to let things go and really learn to surf reality through this and learn how to pivot and know when it's okay. Okay, we don't have to stress. We'll just figure it out. We'll figure it out, and having faith in ourselves. And I think that in itself is a pretty big bonus. Wouldn't you say?
Yeah, I'd say so. And I just want to also say a thank you to the community for being supportive and understanding all of the different nuances as we are able to share them. I think it felt in the beginning that if there was any sort of delay or misstep in the plan, that we would be crucified by the community and we would lose the momentum and lose our support structure. And I'm just really pleased that everybody has rallied and stuck with us and really understands the difficulties or the nuances to running the project. I know not everybody even was aware or is aware that it costs us anything to write addresses to the contract, like this drop by drop expense that we have, in addition to the time it takes to do the artwork and the financial expense of buying art supplies. But when people found out, they were just very supportive, and just, I really wanted to just show some love to the community and give a big thank you to everybody for really like understanding that this is a human endeavor. It's not just a PFP project. And at this juncture, we're pushing ahead regardless of it, if all the expense is on our side and all the profit is on your side as the community. That's okay with us at this time.
Well, thank you. That's lovely. And I think also wanted to mention that Scales has really made a lasting impact, and not just for me, but for the Ancient Swing community and also a lot of other people I encounter in the Scales Discord. So, because it's not about, like many other projects in Web3, are like lots of hype and then there's a mint and then there's nothing. And you really turn that upside down, and with this continued focus on dropping art and building community and encouraging trading and collecting. And so, yeah, it's been great. And I also wanted to touch on the various breaks. This year, you announced a break from December to March. And then there was also the involuntary break during the high gas periods. First of all, it's very good that you were taking breaks, because it was really a hectic schedule before that. But tell us more about these breaks. How has life been when you didn't have to be in the AMS all day?
Okay. I will say that the breaks were definitely needed, much needed reprieve from the allow list and from doing basically living on Photoshop, at least on my side, all day. And honestly, the gas-induced break, it was nice but unexpected, and I wish it wasn't that way. We just rolled with the punches. Would have been nice to just roll it out and continue without that. But at the same time, it was nice to be able to come back to the land that we live on and really get into the garden and do the things that, the human things that we had neglected over the last year, as we were just constantly with our head in the computer, and Anna would be in the studio every single day, and we didn't really have time to maintain our gardens and to take care of the land. And so it's been really nice to have that time. And I think going forward, we're learning how to find a balance of not putting so much pressure on ourselves to drop every single month, to drop high numbers of scales. I think we've learned that the community will be excited and stay with us regardless of a really rigorous schedule of dropping or something a little slower. And we're just going to continue to feel out what works the best for the community and for us and continue putting it forward like that. But the breaks have been nice. Over to you, Anna.
Yeah, I will say that first break that we took at the beginning of the year was planned and we're like, oh, we need a break. But during that time, I don't know, I would say that I was breaking very much. I was like, oh, I got to get ahead. I got to work harder. I got to make more. And so during that time, I think I was working really hard to get ahead of the game, and which is usually what I will do when I find out that I have time to take a break. I'll be like, oh, it's extra time. Now I can get like caught up on some stuff. But then this one that was unexpected, it really caught us off guard, I think. And it opened up a lot of space. I think that we really, because it seemed like a really bad thing. Like we said, we've always been very aware, or I've always been afraid of abandonment by the community and I haven't wanted to mess up. And then, like Matt said, we were really grateful to see all the continued support. But we've really had time to stop and pause. And for me, like being in that state of being driven all the time, 24/7, like it has its place. It's really important. I was like waking up with stomach aches every day because I was stressed out. And I don't know, it's not worth it. Ambition isn't worth it when it starts to take a toll on your state of being. And I feel like during that last break, I'm just so grateful for it, even though it was like totally unexpected, because I was able to stop and get back to center. And I feel so calm and happy now. And I feel recharged.
Yeah, that's good to hear. That's really important to take care of yourself, first and foremost. Over to you, Casper.
Yeah. Hi, Anna and Matt. I just wanted to quickly echo what Espresso and Johannes said. Immense respect for your perseverance through this project and still having the energy and patience to write personalized messages to us, all reminding us of the mints. I think it's deeply appreciated by me and as well as everyone else in the Angels Wing. Great respect. But on to my question. I think it's more for Matt. I noticed that for the most recent mint, I had this mint from a collection called Empty Presence. It's beautiful. It looks like a nice cascading waterfall. Was there any added or changed effects on the contrast or something done on the software side for enhanced effects?
No, as far as editing of the photos or contrast or coloration, is that kind of what you're referring to?
Yeah, yeah. Because I thought it looked like there was a bit of more artistic sheen on it.
Oh, okay. It may just have to do with the quality of the paint on the canvas, and no additional effects or anything are added. What I do when I take a painting into Photoshop on the initial scan is I try to make it as true to the original painting as humanly possible. It's only sometimes that I can't quite match the colors. If it's a teal, a certain color of teal, it doesn't really tend to match. But almost everything else is just adjusted. The levels and the brightness and the contrast and saturation, etc., are just adjusted enough to bring it closer to the real life painting. And Empty Presence looks about just like it does digitally as it does physically.
All right, cool. That means I got a really nice one. Thanks.
You're welcome.
Yeah, and follow up on that. The physical paintings are still with you, right? Have you started thinking about how you're going to distribute them? Because that's happening at the end of the project, after 10,000 mints, I assume.
That's right. And yeah, we've thought a lot about how to distribute them or send them out. I don't know if everybody on this space is aware, but you should be aware that if you're able to collect all the scales that compose a single painting at the end of the project, when we do hit our 10,000 mark, we will be sending those paintings to the collectors that have managed to gather those scales all in one wallet. So in addition to the NFT that you have minted to your wallet of the full composition, the actual physical painting will be delivered directly to you. So you'll be able to hang that in real life on your wall. And the only thing that we'll need to do is, of course, have the collector cover the shipping to their house. But aside from that, the painting's all theirs. So we're holding them securely and nice and safe. And we'll be sending those out. But before we do that, we do have a tentative plan to have a couple of shows, real life shows, displaying all of the real pieces, all of the full paintings. So hopefully we'll find some really good venues for that. And a lot of the community will be able to come and see all of the paintings in real life. I think that'll be a really special moment.
Oh, that sounds amazing. Yeah. Really hope that that comes to life. And yeah, being able to walk through a gallery and watch all of the paintings, that's even hard to imagine how big such an exhibit would be.
It's pretty large. It's funny. We've been trying to think of clever ideas to like use the rest of the paintings to make a splash in the space. But what's funny is the other day I was asking ChatGPT for some ideas about what we can do with the physical paintings that aren't claimed by the community. And ChatGPT says that we need to get in touch with Elon Musk and do an exhibition in space because it'd be the world's first and garner a lot of publicity. So if anybody knows Elon Musk, let's go. Let's get some scales paintings in space and display them.
I know Elon Musk, but he doesn't know.
Yeah.
Oh, nice. Yeah.
And if anybody has any other ideas, of course, like ideas from the community are some of my favorite things to entertain. I really love when the community comes together with great ideas and participates in building the future of the project. And so if anybody has any ideas about what we can do, if there's any like light bulbs that go off, please let us know, because it'd be really great to have some creative, new, fresh ideas. We're going to have, I don't know by the end of the project how many paintings will be not collected by the community fully. So far, I think there's been 31 paintings collected. And that leaves, out of just the paintings we've released already, over 200 paintings that have not been claimed. So we're still brainstorming for ideas on what we can do ultimately with those paintings. And so if anybody has those kinds of clever ideas or anything fun or interesting that they think we should do, and please let us know, because we're down to entertain all of that.
We could burn them.
I think that's been done now.
Oh, God. Okay.
Nobody likes that? Nobody likes the burning them idea? Yeah.
You just kind of learn to let go.
Too radical.
Yeah, maybe that is a good plan. I mean, maybe it would put some fire in the community to know that if they're working on a painting and they don't collect it by the end of the project, then that painting will be destroyed. I'm not sure what the best combination of things would be, but
I think it sounds pretty good. I'm just playing with you guys. I'm just teasing you.
It works. Let's go to June to switch topic, please.
I would love to see a live exhibition of all scales. But first of all, I want to say, like everyone here in the space, I also have a lot of admiration and respect for what you guys are doing and just being so purpose-driven and persistent in following along this path, despite things not going according to plan. So I was thinking, if the paintings that are not collected in the end, maybe it would be an idea to start an auction on these. Not sure whether it makes sense, maybe try to get in contact with some galleries, or that is something that you guys would be interested in.
I think that sounds like a great idea. And I think the only thing is, we've always said that no matter what, like, we're not going to sell the paintings at all. That's the only thing that we know. And I think it gets a little complicated to, maybe we'll just allow people to continue to collect them. There's always that. Maybe we don't need to put a timeline on when they all need to be collected by. I don't know. It's something to think about. What do you think, Matt?
I think it's going to take a lot more consideration than we'll be able to spend the time on this space for. The reason that we initially said that the one thing we know is that we're not going to sell the paintings is that we didn't want anybody to feel as if we just had this plan to make all these paintings and then make a cash grab of some sort. I don't think the community feels that way now, and especially with the suggestion that maybe we should auction them. Maybe that's something we can put on our radar. It's not something that we've thought of or put much consideration into in that sense because of what we've said from the beginning of the project. This is a community-driven effort, and community were to, say, take a vote, and the result of that vote is that we should sell them and put some of that money back into our own pocket, I wouldn't be opposed to it. Like, we're really taking cues from the community, and that's why I said anybody with ideas, they're definitely welcome. And maybe we'll do something like put it to a community vote in the end. I think that would probably be a good way to do it. I was surprised to hear a couple of people make suggestions that we should be considering that, being that the concept of the project and our ethos is generosity. Maybe that's just the community being generous back to us. And I don't want to reject that outright if that's the case. I'll just say that everything is under consideration, and we really appreciate everybody for just being with us and for putting those ideas forward. It's appreciated.
To be honest, I was not even aware of the idea that you guys don't want to ever sell these paintings. But yeah, that's a great idea to have a community vote what everyone thinks. But I think you guys totally deserve also having part of the success back. And I want to see like these paintings go somewhere to a collector who really enjoy them in the home. So I think auctions would be great.
Awesome. Thank you for that.
Yeah, just to switch to a slightly different topic for a minute. So recently, we've also been seeing the art that you make, Anna, on wine bottles. And very interesting to see this collaboration working. Tell us more about this wine bottle drop.
That is super exciting. So this has been a sort of a secret collaboration that was given to us by, well, through Three Spaces, which is our partner, and they have been helping us to get my work into physical spaces, and they're like out there looking for brand deals and stuff like that. Three Spaces is amazing. And one of the opportunities they brought to us was with Peju Winery, which is in Napa. And basically they asked for two physical pieces of work from me. And then from those physical pieces of work, basically, I took a little section of the painting that I really liked and scaled it. So basically made it look hyper real through the use of some little Photoshop magic. Basically, that just means removing anything that reveals a sense of scale. And then they put that on the wine bottle. And these wine bottles are going to be auctioned off along with some other perks with the vineyard and also the physical paintings themselves. So right now, one of the paintings is 4x4. They're oil on canvas. That one is huge. And that one is white. And I can't remember what I titled it.
Communion,
yeah. And then the other one is like a 30 by 40. And that one, what is the other one titled, Matt?
Slow burn.
Yeah. Thank you for that. I appreciate it. Yeah. So the physical pieces are going to be auctioned off. And then half of the proceeds go to a charity that helps out women and children who are victims of domestic violence. So it's a really cool project all around. And honestly, I'm super honored to be a part of it. I was able to go out to Napa to tour the vineyard and to tour the winery and with five other artists. And it was just amazing, honestly. It was an amazing experience to meet all these other talented people. Peju is a really special place. It's like a living art project. And so it felt like a really perfect fit. And I think the reception is going to be in California, in Napa, on July 21st, where they're going to be showing all the physical pieces. And shortly thereafter, there's going to be an auction on the blockchain. And that includes a huge 3-liter bottle of wine with the art on it, too. So it's a cool deal.
Yeah, it sounds really cool. 3 liters, that's a lot. It looks really good. And also amazing to see the collection of artists they put together. So it's you and other people that we know from Web3 as well, like Sarana from MetaAngels collection, and Daniel King, who we're lucky to have as a guest on this podcast next week, and other familiar names. So yeah, very happy to see this collaboration, and also very happy that you have time in your schedule now to do more of these things, because I think overall it's really great. And it doesn't take anything away from Scales. It just adds to Scales being a fantastic project.
Totally. And thank you for saying all of that. And yeah, the other artists are pretty amazing. It's nice to connect in person. Feels really genuine. And I love being able to do these projects, and slowing Scales down a bit allows me to do that and to do commissions and do the work that is actually going to paying the bills. I wouldn't say putting food on the table. I'd more say most of my money goes to like the art supply store or the nursery, like the garden store. It's putting seeds in the ground, I guess. Does that work? So yeah, it's awesome. Yeah, we're really lucky.
Nice. Yeah. And have you been able to grow food and plants and flowers this past year?
Yeah, to the best of my ability. With gardening, there's always something that goes wrong every year, and you can never predict it. You'll prepare for what happened last year that went wrong, and then that's not the thing that goes crazy. This year, it's slugs. We have slugs everywhere, and it's just always something. It's either the slugs or the deer or the mice or the water. But honestly, when I actually look at it objectively, our garden is pretty badass. It's pretty full of vegetables and fruit and berries. We just got all the raspberries coming in right now. I'm so excited.
That's good. That's good. And no bear attacks since last time?
The bears they're constantly around. Just like maybe 2.5 weeks ago or 3 weeks ago, Matt and I were hanging out in the kitchen, like looking out the window. And this giant ass bear is just strolling through our driveway like he owns the place. I'm like, what the heck, dude? Our dog's going crazy. But they're just around. They live here too. We have to like puff our chest out and be territorial. But they're peaceful creatures, and I don't have a problem with them generally.
That's good. Sounds very brave to me. We've been talking about lots of things about Scales in the last hour. We're about to wind down the spaces. Anything we've left out or anything you wanted to mention before we sign off today?
I don't know how many times we can say thank you to you guys and to the community in general, but it feels so good actually just to know that y'all have our backs, and it allows me as the artist, when I'm working, it allows me to relax, and I feel like I have permission to take a little bit more time, which is part of this project. And what really drives me is like evolving and pushing my style, and that takes a lot of time sometimes, and it takes a lot of failure, a lot of experimentation, and sometimes that can feel like wasted time. But I don't want to be like an art robot where I'm just like pumping out paintings. They'll end up looking the same or they'll be lifeless. And so all the support that we're feeling here. It gives me a lot of freedom to be creative and at my pace. So I appreciate that a lot.
Thank you so much for taking us with you on this journey. And it's also very exciting to see what art comes next. Every drop, there's something new, something interesting, something to study. So really love this. And yeah, from, I think I speak for the entire community when I say thank you so much for creating this project and giving away all of this amazing art and taking us with you on this.
Thank you guys.
We love you guys.